Hello and welcome to the Lock In Podcast, the show that's all about staying at home. My name's Conor Muinicon and this is episode 8 of the show for Wednesday, April 28th, 2020. We've got a website for the show. It's at thelockin.ie. You'll find details there about how to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Acast and TuneIn Radio as well. And remember, it's a video podcast as well as audio, so you can watch all of the shows on YouTube, and all of the details for that are available at thelockin.ie. Today's guest is an award-winning horticulturalist and garden designer. He's a blogger and podcaster. Peter Donegan, welcome to the show.
Con, how are you, my good man? Good to see you again.
And you too. Peter, first of all, tell us, where do you live and what is the lockdown like there?
I live in a wee small farming town in North County Dublin. We got broadband about 6 months ago. We are 20 quid to the nearest bus stop, so we're off public transport, one petrol station, one fine pub, and one amazing Gaelic football club, and that surmises Ballybottle in North County Dublin. Yeah, but how is the lock-in going? Not so bad, actually. We've I think, as I said to my younger sister, who's got one child and told me she was on the verge of going mad of recent, I said, enjoy it while it lasts, because soon enough we're going to return to normality. We'll all be stuck in traffic and we'll be complaining about the weather. So things aren't too bad, Con, to be very honest with you.
Good. And are people more or less observing it? I read today in the news that lockdown fatigue is beginning to set in around the country.
I don't know, Con. I think if you want to pay attention to the news on the motorways and everything else that tends to happen, I'm you know, that's up to you. But where we are, it's fair to suggest you'll see the killing of scully walkers, as I call them, passing my house. The fields on the far side of the road always have two people and a dog sort of walking through it, and people do tend to be sticking to it. The local constabulary genuinely, my apologies, tend to be on the march looking out for the olders who need their shopping done and their prescriptions picked up. And there's a wonderful sense of community, I have to be very honest with you, that is out there. So I'm not seeing maybe what everybody else is seeing on the news, but then my television is disconnected and I listen to Radio na Gael, Doctor. So that solves that one.
Peter, I've known you a long time and you're a landscape gardener and designer and that as well. Increasingly in recent years, you've been taking on some big projects. Tell me briefly about the World War I commemoration in France and how those kind of projects have been affected by what's happening now.
The World War I centenary peace garden was designed and realised in the dried up moat of the 13th century Chateau de Peronne in northern France. They were the Jardin de la Paix, or the peace gardens, where a series of 14 international garden designers and yours truly selected to represent Ireland relocated to France for about 3-4 months. And that garden was built throughout 2018 and inaugurated by the Irish embassy and the Irish ambassador Patricia O'Brien in 2019, so only just September gone. I was due back there, funnily enough, for about 3 months work this year. That went on a hiatus. The other program I'm working on is with RTE, which is DIY SOS Ireland. I'm one of the purple shirts there, or their in-house garden designer, if you want to call it. We've recorded two episodes. That obviously went on hiatus as well. And in between there, I had designed a garden at RHS Cardiff, the Royal Horticultural Society's, one of their 5 major shows. And this year, I am and was due to design at RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, which is the largest flower show in the world. Funnily enough, was not cancelled. It was postponed until September. So a little bit of mayhem. But then in conversation with very good friends of mine and the contractor for the Northern Roots Oldham Garden at Hampton, I think, as Ed rightly said to me, you know, what a violin bow to be playing when a television program and a garden design for the largest flower show in the world is postponed. Boo-hoo, says you. But we'll get there. They are just gardens and they aren't, they haven't been decommissioned. They've just been put on hiatus. So I can't complain too much, to be very honest with you, Con.
Yeah, yeah. But as you said, the Royal Horticultural shows, most of them cancelled or indefinitely put on hiatus. But the Hampton Court Palace one is hopefully going to go ahead in September. So you're kind of focused on that at the moment.
At the minute, we have the main structure of that, to put it in context, is a 7.4 metre long paper airplane-esque steel structure that is being built last week. We're putting the finishing touches to it over the next 2-3 weeks. It also measures about 4.5 metres wide. So by the time we transport that from Oldham, which is where the garden will relocate back to London and back again, I think the point I made with my sponsors, Park Cakes, was that we won't even need to tell the internet that we're transporting this thing from one place to another. Everybody will know. And it's due to be a sort of a burnt happiness, sunshine, orangey, red sky colour, but again, shaped like a paper airplane. So I think getting the finishing touches on it with the travel ban or the restrictions on travel in place is proving a little bit difficult. Look, again, what a violin boat to play. Hopefully the judges will understand it and appreciate that and take it into consideration. It's certainly a high-profile show to be at and a high-profile garden to be a part of. And again, yeah, what a privileged position I'm in, I suppose.
Peter, one of the reasons I wanted to invite you on the show today, as well as that, as well as being a high-profile garden designer, you have always been, as I've known you, somebody who's an advocate for the common man and the common man in his garden, for getting your hands dirty and giving things a try. And sure, what the hell if it doesn't work out? But there is an opportunity there for people to, I suppose, maybe try things out if they hadn't had time. Some people are finding they have a little more time on their hands at the moment. What's your main advice for anyone who is finding themselves with a little bit more time on their hands and a little bit more sunshine in the sky these days?
I think there was a blog post, Con, that I wrote years ago at the height of the dip, when people had a little bit more time on their hands, and the words being bandied about are the sort of the dig for victory or the victory gardens that would have there was sort of reminds you almost of what happened around World War II.
Yes.
And the so I think my whole logic on that was, if you have nothing but 3 months of sitting down out the back garden with the kids, then digging the entire back garden up, it makes logic sense, and obviously it fills a day. However, we're on the verge of having, you might say again, restrictions sort of lifted and eased, and eventually we're going to go back to full-time work and full-time employment, and that will not be minding the kids or entertaining the children or spending time with them or hoping to tire them out. So the easiest advice I could give anybody is the cheater's guide to growing your own. And the cheater's guide to growing your own is plant trees, because when they produce the fruit and you don't pick them, they just appear next year and say, "For look what I have for you." If you have a little bit more time, plant some fruit bushes. And if you have a little bit more time than that, then you tend to go into the sowing of some wildflowers or some salads or along those lines. And what you eventually end up with is a garden like what I have, which it always looks like I am of superior intelligence. It always looks like I am of horticultural magic, that I have an abundance of fruit at all times throughout the year. But at the same token, the amount of farming, inverted commas, time that is required is minimal. It is literally a couple of bean tins with some parsley, some salad lettuce leaves, and some wildflowers again. And whether that's with my daughter, who's 10 years of age, my apologies, and spraying those bean cans sort of gold or greens or whatever paint is left over in the shed, and a handful of compost. And when they go to pot, you know what you do? You put them down in the shed and you take out some new ones, and boom, and there you go. But again, I always look glorious, Con, when you call around.
So your advice is kind of walk before you can run, and don't commit yourself to a big farm, which when things go back to normal, you mightn't necessarily have the time to maintain. I've been there, Peter, actually. There was one year when I ambitiously dug up a huge plot for spuds and things like that, and ended up with the world's biggest briar patch at the end of it all for many, many years. So, I know.
It's very true, though, Con. Look, a lot of this is being based upon the Ministry of Food, and the Ministry of Food, even at that, was going out and collecting berries from the wild and how to survive during very, very frugal times. Historically, when we look at allotment tiering and grow your own, it's usually as a method of survival or in increased economic severities. We are not really at that point just yet, at least at this moment in time. It's about putting a smile on your face. It's about walking in, sitting down and having a glass of wine in the evening time and saying, wasn't today a good day? Didn't little Johnny smile? Don't I still have some energy left? And I don't feel like sleeping because I've done 8 hours of or 10 hours of work that I've never had to do before in my lifetime because I'm an accountant or a librarian. So, you know, you got to be a little bit clever about these things. And if you do retire, then by all means, give me a call and we'll go through and we'll redesign your back garden for you and make sure there's loads of places you can dig.
Peter, a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Good luck with your plans and preparations for the Hampton Court Garden Festival and your other projects, the TV and everything like that as well. Talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Huge thanks, Con, and you and the boys at Black Knight. Pleasure as always, my good man. Slánog spanacht.
Slánlet. Peter Donegan of Donegan Gardens, our guest on the show today. Just a couple of items I want to mention before we say goodbye for today's episode. I meant to mention this last week, the Court Literary Festival, when we were talking to Maria Moynihan Lee a couple of weeks back. She pointed out that it's traditionally the start of the festival season in Galway, but that it had to become a virtual festival instead. And in actual fact, that's a great advantage for people who maybe mightn't have had the opportunity to travel to Galway for the Court Festival this year. Court.ie, C-U-I-R-T.ie is the address of the website, and you'll find that they turned it into a virtual festival. I think most of the talks are still available. They were streamed live on YouTube. They appear to be still there as far as I can see. And there is an opportunity, and I would urge you to consider donating to the festival, because obviously they would have had ticket sales for some of these events, and of course, being virtual, online and free, they can't actually do that in this case, but that's one item at least. Court.ie. Speaking of culture, tonight is the premiere of an event which can be viewed online at RTE Culture. It's a production of the Abbey Theatre, and they have commissioned 50 writers, playwrights, and 50 actors to perform the work of these writers, which are the form of monologues or kind of postcards to Ireland. In the theatre community, they say, we physically come together to create and share our work. Social distancing stops us from doing this, but it won't stop us, they said, from creating opportunities to hear and share Ireland's artistic voice. It's an interesting project taking place over 4 nights, beginning tonight at 7:30 p.m. And you can find out more at the RTE Culture website. Finally, and speaking of culture and music, there are so many examples of this. This one just blew me away last week. The amazing collaborations that musicians are doing between them, each other, recording parts of a song or a track, different pieces and different instruments being played, different arrangements being made, and then mixed by those artists and presented into something really quite fantastic. Some of them truly inspirational. This one is a gorgeous recording of the hit for our Maria McKee back in 1990. You might recall Show Me Heaven was featured on the film Days of Thunder, which starred Tom Cruise. This is a collaboration between Clare musician Gerra O'Donnell and Gráinne Hunt, and they've recorded a fantastic version of Show Me Heaven. I'll post the link to that. You can find it on both Gerra O'Donnell and Gráinne Hunt's Facebook pages and elsewhere as well. Shinawil, Dun Clorsa, Dun Trosa, back again on Friday with another episode of the Lockin.ie. Until then, Slongafoil.